Hello, everybody. This is Jay Denson of the Fit Health Well podcast. Thank you guys for listening and have another exciting episode that I'd like to bring to you guys. As we are in season three and we are bringing you fresh new content, there was an area that I wanted to cover as well, and it's supplements. I wanted to ask someone who was very knowledgeable in the field of supplements because, you know, we are still in the COVID era. A year into it. And, you know, when I go to Walmart or, you know, any places that has vitamins and things like that, like I'm starting to notice that the shelves are bare. And I'm starting to filter a lot of questions. You know, people tend to want to know, you know, what should they incorporate in their daily regimen and things like that. So I wanted to have someone on that can speak to that. My next guest grew up in Brooklyn, New York, and graduated in 2004 from Johnson & Wales University in Providence, Rhode Island, with a degree in culinary nutrition. She's currently a distributor for Max International, which is a wellness marketing company. And through personal experience and studies, she learned the importance of proper supplementation. Learning how the body works has motivated her to learn more and share the knowledge as well as urgency we need when it comes to protecting our immune system. In addition to her knowledge about supplementation, she's currently an avid runner. Always having a passion for running since she was a child, she was a member of the Forest Park Rangers running team, winning many medals for indoor and outdoor races, as well as making it to the Junior Olympics in Saratoga, New York. Now she's running in several different running groups on a weekly basis, just to mention a few, such as Bridge Runners, Girls Run New York, MTAR Crew, and She Run Crew. Ladies and gentlemen, I am very happy and very pleased and thankful that to introduce my next guest, Monique Nieves. Hello, Monique. Thank How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank How was the intro? Me. Yeah. How was the intro?
It was great. Thank you, man. I feel great.
Definitely. And you should, right? Because, you know, I think during this time, knowledge is very valuable, right? And I'm trying to seek out people, especially as it relates to health and wellness, that, you know, can provide information that can help us during this period. You know, typically when I have guests on my show and pretty... as I promote this and people's known about it, this was a topic that I wanted to cover. So before we get into, you know, the supplementation, the fun stuff that we want to talk about, I always like to have my listeners get a little background about the guests that I have appearing on my show. So just give everybody a little background about yourself, Monique.
Well, a little bit about me, whether you haven't said, I guess I'm a proud left-hander.
Nice.
I'm a lefty. I know that we're rare, so I guess that's what we're always proud to say, we're left-handed. Love the beach. I believe in, you know, sharing and the importance of like educating each other, each one teach one. I think that, you know, there's no competition, right? I don't know why people tend to feel like there is a competition, but there's enough for everybody. And I think nature shows us that. And if you haven't spent enough time in nature to understand that, then maybe this is an opportunity to do that so that you could understand the way the world works and the world that we live in works so that we can sort of work on those personal things that may hold us back, you know, to not wanting to share and work together. Aside from running, I love volleyball. Volleyball is my favorite sport. And handball, you know, being from Brooklyn, being from New York, like you basically, that's like just the sport when you're growing up and, you know, just admiring all those OGs that like, you know, you would never think could move as fast as they move on the court. But I think it's great. You know, I'm so proud to have had that experience and yeah, I mean, it's all about movement and moving and how we can live a healthier life, you know, with health as well. So
exactly. Yeah. And to anybody that's listening, right? Like, you know, anyone that knows me, I grew up in New York City my entire life. I relocated to Canada, but there was definitely a connection when she spoke about handball, because growing up in the Bronx, all of my friends, especially my Latino friends out there, they had to teach me how to play handball because I was so bad at it. But that speaks to something that I miss, and I think every New Yorker knows about, is that culture, right? Of just going to the handball court, playing handball, you know, fire hydrants, opening up the fire hydrants during the summertime and things like that. So, you know, just that whole vibe, man, is something I miss. If you guys want to get to understand what, just look up New York City handball on YouTube, right? Or there's a great, it was a play, but it's getting ready to come out on film, Washington Heights. And that kind of like captures just the communities and things like that and how close knit, right? Everybody, right? How it is in different areas. So with that being said, right? So, you know, I know you have your knowledge, you went to school and things like that as well. I know you brought up handball and just being in the volleyball. How early on would you say that like being active or being fit was incorporated in your life? How early back?
That was something natural, to be honest, Jay, because like as a little girl, my mother couldn't get me off of climbing trees. Like she would get me all dressed up and dolled up. And I would have stockings on looking all cute. And you would be like, where's Monique? And I was climbing a tree. I got holes in my stockings. You're like, what are you doing over there, kid? Like I was always active. It was just part of who I am. I mean, I believe it's partly my father has always been an athlete himself. I mean, not as of yet, because he's gotten a lot older, but he was always like playing handball, playing baseball, and all these things that were just like part of what made the community, you know, either for cultural reasons or just because it was a way to sort of just unload, you know, from all the pressures. So yeah, it's just from when I could remember. I mean, my mom even told me, and I don't even think I've ever shared this with anybody on a podcast before, was like, I didn't start walking. I ran. Like I literally ran. Like they were like, what was that? And that was me running. So, you know, it was kind of funny to think about that now, like how real that is to my personality and like how I don't sit still, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think it's important, right? Like, I don't have kids yet. But I just think just in general, I remember being a kid and like I would beg and like scream and cry for my mother to go out to allow me to go outside just because I just enjoyed it so much. Right. And I find that, you know, not too much, but the if you allow this generation of just younger kids to sit and play video games and not be active, they'll be content with that. Right. And I think with us growing up, we had all of these outlets and within our community, whether it was the YMCA or like you said, going to the handball court. So I go to the basketball court. So these things were free. And, you know, we were very active with that. I know in the Bronx before I left as well, when they built the new Yankee Stadium, which was across the street, they had this track and field, this amazing area for you to do calisthenics and things like that. So I thought that was a huge investment in the community, because what that allowed is if you didn't have money for a gym membership. And I remember to this day, I have to always tell the story with my uncle. You know, he never had a gym membership a day in his life. I remember when I was a kid and I was playing on the monkey bars and he would just go there and he'd do his pull ups and he'd do his sit ups. Mm-hmm. He was always fit. Right. And my question to you is, you know, how important is it? And do you see this in your community, the more public access to things that are helping, you know, not only our young kids, but just the community stay more fit? Is their initiative? I have to rely on you because I'm probably like 4 years removed from New York City. What's the vibe there?
I mean, I haven't been in New York since the beginning of March, but since I left, there isn't much initiative, at least in East New York area, from what I there's very little initiative. And I feel like it is frustrating because it's like, it's a desert. It's a food desert to begin with. And there's battles with that, right? And, you know, there are tracks and stuff that are from the like boys and girls high school. And then there's another one, I forget the name of, that's on Linden Boulevard. That's, you know, people have access to, but there's really no, there's very few leaders within the community that are active that hold group sessions to help motivate people to do things. And so there is some gaps and it's a little disheartening, but there is great aspects to it where there are a lot of like other neighborhoods in Brooklyn that do have those, you know, workout stations and people are active, you know, specifically even in the Lower East Side, you run under the FDR and they've reconstructed. Like I want to say that part of Lower East Side going into like Lower Manhattan where the towers were. And you can literally have a whole section of workouts and you could do like a, almost like a, what do you call that? A routine, like a whole interval workout. So there are sections that are being like, and like that have that initiative and that have a space for it. And then there's others that are still, you know, evolving. And I believe, you know, there's just certain parts of Brooklyn specifically, and even the Bronx, you know, that are sort of on their way to changing, especially now. I feel like those are the changes that we're going to see after this whole like pandemic, because, you know, like we were forced, it was like, I was literally having this conversation today with a friend of mine saying how literally like the pandemic has caused people to understand how unhealthy their space, their personal spaces are, you know, like, and I feel like aside from what's going on outside, if your inside space isn't healthy and there's no wellness or mindfulness in it, then that's also something that we need to talk about, right? Because it only happened when we were forced to stay home and realize and really look around like, damn, I don't know why I'm paying so much rent.
Right? It's crazy. Like you say to yourself too, there's so many ways. Well, I could definitely attest to like rent being so high in New York City. But I think the most important part and the takeaway from your conversation and what you just said was the food deserts. And I don't want that to kind of be missed or go over anybody's head. So I'm going to explain what that is. You know, when Monique said, and especially impoverished communities, a food desert is basically a impoverished community or not, you know, not more so just a lower income community that don't have access to the whole foods, right? Like nutritionists, nutritional values, enough smoothie bars. I can tell you growing up, and I'm pretty sure Monique can agree with this, but even growing up in the Bronx, within a 10 blocks radius, I can count how many liquor stores, how many Chinese restaurants, how many Kennedy Fried Chicken, how many McDonald's there are before you see anything healthy. It was almost non-existent at the time, really, when I go back and I think about it. And I would say even now, like, you know, in these communities, when you go to, you know, the supermarket and things like that, the stuff that's on sale that people can afford it is often the stuff that's not healthy, right? Like you could get 2 liter sodas 5 for $5 at like the supermarket and 2 for $5 boxes of cakes and things like that. And I think there's a challenge there. You know, even though we've gotten better within New York cities in these areas, we need to, you know, start making that a priority, I would feel, right? In order to have the access to these things. Because again, I remember when I got my car and like a lot of the stuff that I was getting, organic stuff, either I would go to Westchester, I would have to drive over to Jersey, or I'd go to Manhattan to get the things that I wanted, like quinoa and things like that, that wasn't introduced. So it's very important that we continue, right, to make that an initiative. And in terms of that, you know, now I want to start making a transition to, you know, the supplement aspect. So COVID has hit everybody hard, right? I don't care. The thing about this virus and what people tend to forget, you know, this virus doesn't care whether you have money, you don't have money, what your background is, what color you are. It does not care. With that being said, in terms of how it affects different areas, that's when those other things come into play, right? In terms of a vaccine or quarantine and things like that. The whole gist of this conversation, when it comes to supplementation, What would you from what you know, what you've studied, just give us a basics in terms of what's on the market, right, and what's beneficial to the public.
Well, to be honest, it's kind of disheartening because there really isn't anything on the market. Well, I shouldn't say that. Let me reel that back. There are things on the market, but there's not just one thing. It's marketing, right? So they want you to buy multiple things of something that should be one thing that you take versus multiple things, herbs or some form of vitamin in a capsule that you have to take. Now, and I'm glad you asked that because I think that's been the most frustrating part for me as a distributor for Max International. Because people will quickly go to GNC or any of these other places and trust what's on those shelves versus taking the time, doing the research themselves, understanding the importance of something that's actually been studied in a peer review, that's a legitimate source that's coming from, you know, medicinal journal records. Like literally, these are official studies that take a lot of money. And no one just can't just throw a, you know, if you're trying to put a product into the market, it's easy. But what can you prove it in science is a whole nother conversation. And that's what I hope and pray that people really take this conversation seriously and stop trusting what's on the shelf. Because what on the shelf, if it hasn't been studied on a peer review and it hasn't been proven by science, then you need to be concerned. And why would you trust something like that, that you haven't even read about to put in your body, you know? And so there are so many layers to it because of course the marketing is pretty, the commercial, you know, they have all these nice ads everywhere, you know, on the shelves, you know, they'll send you something in the mail because it's on sale. And because if you're in a pinch, you're going to hold back and put, you know, like use a coupon to buy it because it looks healthy, quote unquote, you know, it looks nice. It's all like a study, you know, they study these things to understand how we psychologically get attracted to it versus what the science shows. Like, why don't we talk about that? Like, first of all, you know, and I feel like that has been my calling in all of this. And it's, you know, like I've gotten all sorts of things and criticisms because, you know, it's a multi-level marketing business, but the doctor that created it that has over 25 peer reviews and over 144 like scientific studies prove that there's a reason why this needs to be purchased by somebody like myself. Because if it were something that you had to provide to a farm and get through a pharmaceutical company, it wouldn't be affordable to the average person. You see? And so like the goal, it's like literally having gold in your hands. And, you know, it's crazy because that's also another conversation, right? Like the psychology behind what, you know, what I was telling you before in my introduction, like the fact of the, like to actually supporting each other, like there's no competition. I'm not here to teach you or try to like swindle you into something that isn't going to help you. Like, if you don't believe me, you don't have to. Just read. If you have enough curiosity and you really want to change your life and understand your body, then read, because that's basically what I did. My father had to get really ill for me to wake up and say, oh my God, like, what do I need? What do I need to get him so that I can have him around as long as I possibly can? It wasn't even about me, Jay, you know, like that's the crazy. It had to be about somebody else before it then had to then circle back to me. And I feel like in this case with the pandemic, then that has also happened indirectly and directly in some cases, right? Because so many people have lost their family members, you know, and or have gotten sick themselves and or still dealing with the symptoms of this virus because they lost their taste and they can't get it back. And it's been almost a year or if not more, you know. So like there are so many things to think about and like the importance of doing the research yourself and understanding why you should be taking the time to learn what these scientific studies prove and show. And that's what got me into becoming a max distributor. You know, the doctor, Dr. Nawasaga, that created it is a medicinal chemist, you know, with a PhD that took 25 years of his life to study this particular formula so that, you know, yes, you have milk thistle. Yes, you have curcumin and turmeric and milk thistle and all these things that you can individually buy. But the difference is that this particular formula, along with the ingredient that he created, which is ribosine, is what helps your body synergistically work with everything together so that you can create your glutathione, which is a master antioxidant in your body, which is one of the most important things that we don't talk about to be able to improve your immunity. And this is not just me talking about it. This is actually proven in science by peer reviews that have been published, you know, to help people understand, like, listen, yes, you know, it's, you shouldn't just be taking any supplement. Just because it says dietary supplement doesn't mean that it's a healthy one. And it's really waking up to that. That's what I'm passionate about.
Exactly. And so, I think the most important thing as well, too, right, is we have to educate ourselves. I think even more so now when we're just buying over the counter or on the shelf supplements. Not only that, you know, whether it's a recommendation or anything like that, also consulting your doctor. I feel like I need to say this to the public only because they have your history, your health history, right? If you have a consistent family doctor, you know, you need to consult with them. But, it, you know, as Monique said, do your research, whatever it is, on whatever supplement you decide to take. And before taking it, not only doing your research, but consulting with your doctor, seeing if that conflicts, right? Because, you know, you may take something that may be beneficial to you, but then it may have adverse effects on someone else, right? I think right. That's always the important regarding that. I want to talk about the good, but before we get to the good, what I want to talk about is the bad. And what I mean by that is just from your observation, I know you brought up, you know, companies like GNC, and we're just aware, just companies like them as well, that supplementation is a multi-million dollar business, right? Billion dollar business, if that. And I think, like you said, a lot of times, you know, for whatever reason, you know, we take it, and as the public, you know, we take these things, whether it's performance enhancing or immune boosting and things like that. But if you could key in on any product that you're aware of, whether it's a placebo or you know for a fact it's not working, you know, please share that, because I think that's valuable to the listeners. Is there anything out there that we're taking on a consistent basis that maybe we can get naturally, right? Or that you know that it's like, you know, it's not beneficial. Do you have anything like that to your knowledge?
I think most things that are on the shelves, you have to be careful with. Right? Because it's like, for example, 5-hour energy, how many of those are available to us? And we're not even taking into effect of what is actually in it. And yes, although it may seem to be something very natural, because you can read maybe every ingredient, but like, it goes back to like, initially, what I was reading through some of the questions that you had, and you know, you wanted to pull out some pointers, but it's about like, also, you know, I think we need to get out of the habit of things being so convenient to us and really looking to go back toward the source of where of our food, you know, like getting it from food. And if it's not enough, then, you know, make sure you can take something that is natural, like, you know, some sort of dehydrated powder of vegetable, like vegetable powder, you know, that you can at least get some of these vitamins and minerals from, versus going and getting something that's in a vitamin, for example, or something like in a 5-hour energy that you're going to crash and burn from. It may work for a short term, right? But it's not a long-term thing. And that's the mentality with this whole wellness, right? It's always short-term based, you know, and there's a quick fix. And that's why, you know, it's such a multi-million dollar business, because of that same reason, because people are always looking for the next thing, like this next tea that's gonna help them burn all the fat, you know. But it's like, how realistic is that, folks? Like, we have to keep it real with ourselves and stop trying to avoid the work of that we need to do to be able to maintain a healthy, leveled, like, wellness journey, you know? And just by some of the, like, it's just the biggest point for me is like, can you prove that this has been studied in a peer review? And most of the time, Jay, you cannot find stuff on the shelf that has been proven scientifically. And I think I don't have to point out specific brands because I'm not here to bash anybody, right? But at the end of the day, it's a challenge for everybody that's listening to this and everyone that is will listen to this later if they're not going to listen to it, you know, when it's published, to really challenge themselves to say, hey, have I done the research? Have I checked to see if this is a published, you know, peer-reviewed, studied supplement, you know? Like, don't just take it from me. I don't want you to just take it from me. Like, it's knowledge is power, right? But it starts with taking the time to going to the, you know, just Googling stuff. Everything can be found through Google right now. There's, like, really no excuse. Like, before, when I was growing up, like, I had to go through Botanica. You know what I'm saying? Like, and literally go and find stuff. You know, I didn't have a computer.
And that the library.
I can type what, yes, exactly. And the library. Because I couldn't afford that Britannica. I had to go to the library, look up at Britannica so that I can find out what was what. And that's if it had an updated edition. Because if it wasn't an updated edition, then it wouldn't matter. You know, you would be asked out anyway. Like, you would have to figure it out. So, you know, the fact that we are in the information era, there is really no excuse as you continue to dig. And I guess that's the other part, right? Like, we have to get out of that conditioning of the immediate, like, the instant gratification, I should say, and just take the time and be a little bit more patient because it's involving your health and your wellness to do the research. And so you could see for yourself who is who, you know, instead of investing dollars into things that you're not even sure of, you know? And I think exactly. That's the culture. That's the culture that needs to change, you know?
Definitely. And I definitely, like, you know, again, my takeaways from this piece as well is, you know, again, like, if you, all of this stuff that's on the market right now, you know, as you referenced the peer review, if it's not there, if it hasn't been studied, you know, there's no validity to it. But this is, I'm going to pose a very important question to you. And this is a question too, that I tend to get a lot and I understand it when I hear it. But this is the whole purpose. I feel like one of the main reasons why I wanted you here. It's hard, right? It's hard. Let's just say, for example, the working person to get all the daily vitamins that you need in a meal. You just can't get it all from food, right? Because when you break down your macros, which being your proteins and your healthy fats and your carbs, right? Let's just say for the three meals you have in a day, you've addressed the fiber intake, right? Great. You already have your protein, but, you know, you may not have gotten all your omegas, right? Or you may not have gotten something to help you boost the your immune system. How do you counter that, right? How do you ensure that you get the daily nutrition or the daily amount of vitamins that you get in a day? And, you know, I think the main reason why I'm asking you this is because you have that degree in culinary nutrition. And at least what I found, and this is more of a support question as well, is I think going to the basics, you know, whether it's just whole green foods or things like that, kind of helps fill the gap. But give me some insight on that. What do you say to someone that tells you, Monique, like, I can't get all the vitamins I need from my food, so what can I take?
I think being fun with it, being creative, right? Because, like, it could be really mundane and, like, boring if you try to think, like, oh, I got to take this supplement for this. Just choose healthy snacks aside from a supplement, right? Like, if you can get, like, more trail mixes worked in as snacks throughout the day, right? Then you're going to not have to overdo it when it comes to your meals, because guess what? You've sort of broken it up and compartmentalized it throughout the day. And I feel like depending on who, what type of personality, right? Because some people just like, are free birds and they eat whatever comes to them and they don't like having a routine and a schedule. And then there's other people that thrive on a schedule and need their snacks planned out and bagged up and in a lunchbox, you know, like it just depends on your personality. But I find that it's helpful to, you know, maybe make that smoothie in the morning or maybe make it in the midday and add in some nuts and different type of snacks that are able, like you're able to get those omega-3s and some of those oils and some of those other nutrition, like other nutritional things that you may be missing that you don't feel like you're getting enough of, aside from considering taking a supplement, because it's all lifestyle, right? Like it can't just be one thing. It all works synergistically, you know? So it's about being open to different ways that may be outside of what you normally do, but are not going to completely take you away. And it's going to like overwhelm you. Like some people can't do meal prepping, you know, that just doesn't work for them because they can't get used to eating the same thing over and over again. But what I could say to the person that doesn't like to meal prep, but that needs to meal prep because maybe their health issues have caused them to make some serious modifications. But like, say you mentioned quinoa earlier, right? I love quinoa. Quinoa is so versatile, right? Because you can either have it cold or you can have it hot. Like for somebody like me, that I don't sometimes when I was in New York, I didn't have a lot of time to spend in the kitchen. So what I would do is make a big batch of quinoa. And the fact of the matter is that holds so well in the refrigerator. And I put it in a Tupperware. And every day I'll make something different. And it'll take me minutes because my base was done, you know? So if I wanted it with kale, if I wanted it with spinach or some chopped up veggies, you know, I would just literally mix it up and warm it up or just have it cold because that's what I wanted. And so like, depending on your lifestyle, you just have to sort of be open to how can you get these certain nutrients that you need. And I also feel like, you know, if you haven't gotten a blood test to see where you're at and where your level's at, so you know how to take it to the next level, I encourage people to get a blood test done. Because what I also want to mention is the importance of knowing your blood type, because that is not discussed enough. And I feel like, you know, we hear following a food guide pyramid that is not structured for some of us culturally, because our ancestors didn't eat these things. And therefore, what it ends up doing is causing hypertension, diabetes, high blood pressure, you know, all these things that we never, ever had to deal with genetically, ever, ever, ever in our lineage. But because we're eating foods that are not appropriate to our blood type, you know, you're nurturing your body, but you're in turn your body is causing a war because it doesn't agree with your blood. So you don't even know. You're thinking, man, but this is avocado. These are healthy fats. But guess what? Depending on your blood type, you can't eat avocado. You know, it's not healthy for you. Like you also have to take into consideration intuitive eating and how you intuitively feel when you eat it, but also being mindful of what exactly your blood type requires and being sensitive to that and being open to that. And then going in the direction of what we were talking about, of how important it is to work, you know, different ways to get the nutrients you need into your daily diet. So I know I went off on a tangent, but it was...
No, that was good. So, I loved it because I've never heard since I've had the podcast, right? I've never heard anyone in terms of just the area's expertise speak to the importance of getting a blood test, right? And testing your levels and seeing where things are. And, you know, that is very important. Actually, it's something that I haven't even thought of myself. I definitely do know though, the food pyramid is bullshit. Like It's something that we've seen in schools. I don't know if that's still an initiative in school, but, you know, it's not conducive to, you know, just the proper daily intake. And I've spoken to experts about this numerous times. You know, I don't know why, if it still exists, why it hasn't been abolished yet. I think with us coming from different backgrounds, right? And like you said, when we look at our lineage and we look at our blood, we have, you know, us for, you know, Latinos and even Africans as well. We come from hotter climates. So we're not going to eat the same foods that Europeans eat, right? We're not going to eat the same foods that people from Asia has eaten. So like you said, there's certain types of foods and things like that, that, you know, may not, that you think of benefit you and could have adverse effects. Thank you for that point. That's actually a dope point. I didn't really think about that going into it. We talked about wasn't working, and I want to talk about what works, and just kind of want to keep it on the supplement side of it, if there is anything. You know, you talked about the peer review and you said, you know, if it hasn't been studied and it hasn't been researched, you know, there's no validity to it. So what's out there that is on the review, does or has proven to work, that someone can pick up? And I say that mainly just for, I know you said you hate the convenience factor. I do as well, too. I do think even if someone can keep it within a modern, like, I don't know, maybe a 1 to 2 pill a day, if there is something out there that you know of, right, or that your company deals with as well, what's out there that people can take that you're like, you know what, this is helpful. It has been proven to help, whether it's a vitamin C tablet or something like that. What can help not only just aid in our immune system boosting that, but that we could take that can help us in addition to vitamins and things like that?
Well, before I mention the company that I'm a distributor for, I'm going to go back and take it back to the land, literally. And I'm going to mention nature, right? Nature is our medicine. And my point in saying that is, like, being that our backgrounds, right? And our backgrounds, Jay, there was medicine women, okay? And guess what those medicine women did? They knew exactly what herbs, what tree trunk, you know, you needed to chew on or make a tea with or something like that, that was going to help heal you, you know. And I don't even know how they remembered all of these things just by walking through the forest or wherever they lived around, but they knew exactly what was for what just by looking at it. And so I feel like that's also an aspect to us, because we are organic beings, that we need to trust nature as long as it hasn't been adulterated with, right? And going to a sustainable place that grows sustainable herbs that you can make teas from, whether hot or cold, I feel like is the first way, because that's also something that can be incorporated in a lifestyle adjustment, right? Or modification. That can also be a way that you can obtain some of those vitamins and nutrients that you may be lacking in your diet. You know, so if you don't like eating them per se, you can drink them, you know, and there's so many benefits to it for your nervous system, for your blood system, like your organ function, like all of that is amazing. And the amazing benefits of what nature has already provided to us that we have been taken away from in a lot of different ways, you know, because we're taught to trust the doctor that's being paid by pharmaceutical companies to give you a pill that's not the cure. It's only prevention. It's like I don't even know how to say it, but it's just like, it's just going to keep compounding into something that is never going to give you a full result, a full cure result, you know? And so that's where I feel like we have to put the power back in our hands and what we're from the earth, and we need to trust that, of course, through the sources provided, we can trust that things that grow from the land are for us, and we can get everything we need aside from other things. And the reason why I mention other things is because the supplements that I represent and that I sell, you know, is deeper than just accelerating your glutathione levels, right? Naturally, with your body's own production of what it does, right? but it's also protecting you from radiation, removing these heavy metals from our body that we are constantly being inundated with, whether it be the food we eat or the air we breathe. You know, like, how do we prevent ourselves from getting sick? Because the end of the day, there's really nothing that's going to help you in that sense overall. You know, there has to be something on a cellular level to remove those things and you detox on a daily level. And that's the key, like detoxing on a daily level. And how do you do that so that you can prevent any of these things that cause disease to not create an environment for it, right? It's like, you can't grow an orchid in the desert, can you? No. Orchids can't grow in the desert. So it's like, why are you going to ever think in your mind that an orchid can grow in a desert? And you really, really convinced that it's supposed to grow. Like, that's bizarre. That's crazy. That's crazy thinking. And so that's the point, right? How do you create your body, an environment for your body to thrive and make sure that all your organs are functioning properly, all your levels of glutathione are what they should be. And, you know, how do you confront
Describe glutathione just for the listeners that may not know what that is, if you don't mind, please.
Okay, no problem. Of course, glutathione is a master antioxidant that your body produces. It is found in mostly all of your cells in your body. Your cells and you per se cannot even be alive without it. But what happens is that through all these heavy metals, through the radiation, through, you know, all these other environmental and metabolic things that are found in our food and obviously around us, cause our glutathione levels to decrease, not only because of age, but also what we're surrounded with that's invisible. And so this is the conversation that doctors are not having, because most of them, although they know what glutathione is, and they most of the times, you know, are taught other things about it, they're not taught on what works and what's been proven to accelerate it so that you can, you know, obviously it's not proven to but for disclaimer purposes, it hasn't been proven to cure cancer or anything like that. But think about it. If you on a daily basis manage your body's toxicity level, what do you think is going to happen? You know? So it's like, you have to be mindful about what it is that you're putting into your body that's going to do its best. And you only want the best to make sure that you're promoting the healthy levels of glutathione, this master antioxidant that you can't have. If you don't have enough glutathione in your body doesn't produce enough ATP. ATP is our energy source in order for us to be able to wake up every day, you know, and have the energy that we need in order to be alive, you know? So these are the things that are so serious that we're not even taught, you know? And it's just crazy to think about, like, why is it that I have to learn about my body, you know? And I'm conditioned to trust somebody outside of myself, you know? It's just, exactly. It's just, insane.
I think the issue is, and I think what it is that the public is starting to wisen up that a lot of the information, not only that's out there, but even that we're getting from our own doctors, you know, it's consistently changing, but a lot of times we're learning it's not accurate, right? You know, stuff that we've been told milk, you know, for years is, you know, you should have your daily dose of milk, but guess what? Like, we're not cows, right? And
no.
the whole term of you're lactose intolerant, there's not anything wrong with you per se. It's just that your body isn't built to have milk from a cow. There's other ways to get vitamin D, right? You can get them from leafy greens. And I've learned these things through my own research and studies through years and talking to people that were knowledgeable in this area. But, you know, again, it's kind of like, I like to describe it as breaking the mold of like what we learn and taking ownership in terms of your own health. With that being said, you know, there's something I keyed in on as well that you said earlier is us being organic beings and just taking it back to being organic. And like you said, you know, what our ancestor did, whether they were Taino Indians, natives, Africans, things like that, they would you know, get a lot of these ailments from the land. Even to this day, I know ginger is something that's highly beneficial, just in terms of nutrition. What kind of organic, if there's foods, there's anything that somebody could take and put into a smoothie that can help them? What would you say in addition to that, that's plentiful, that they could probably go to the supermarket and pick up?
Well, I would say a lot of the immune boosting foods are so like reachable. Broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, bok choy, garlic, onions, eggs. If you are, you know, someone that eats animal protein, nuts. We were talking about healthy snacks earlier, right? And how we can work in nuts into our like lifestyle. Legumes like lentils and black beans, red beans, lean proteins like fish and chicken. You know, all these things have immune boosting, glutathione boosting properties, right? Mm-hmm. Sorry.
That's okay.
Herbs such as flaxseed, milk thistle, guzo seaweed, all these things are, you know, like probably the guzo seaweed may be a little bit exotic and maybe hard to have like access to, but you know, you can always order things online and try to figure out what's a sustainable company that sells it. If not, then stick to what you have access to. Like flaxseed and milk thistle are things you can find that you can either take individually or you can add it into a smoothie if you want, or make a juice out of it, you know?
So I'm a little unaware. I don't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry. I'm a little unaware of milk thistle. Can you educate me and my listeners on that? What are the benefits of that?
Milk thistle is actually a flower that helps with the detoxifying. It's like similar to dandelion. Dandelion has detoxifying properties because it's sort of like a bitter flower, but in that bitterness, it actually helps you detox your blood and like, and get rid of some of the cancer cells in our body that need to be removed. And so it also helps with recovery and stuff like that. So if you're someone that is an athlete that needs a quick recovery, this is why it's important to know like what nature has provided. And this is why I always tell people like, look, listen, you know, the product, one of the products, Longevity, that I sell has milk thistle in it. You know, instead of taking something that's individual, look into what is all the things that are going to help you that work synergistically to get you the results that you're looking for, you know? And that's the thing, like, we're always taught, oh, this is one thing and this thing and that thing. No, look for something that has all these ingredients that are
Monique, your audio.
Sorry, I don't know why that happened.
It's okay. I think you probably got to go back to look for something that has all the ingredients you said.
Yeah, I was basically saying, yeah, so milk thistle, I don't know if you heard everything I said about milk thistle. It's a flower. Yeah. It's beautiful. It's a purple flower. Okay, cool. You heard all that. All right. So yeah, essentially going back into the basics of something that you can find all of these ingredients, which is why I encourage people, like, you know, it's more than just a product for me, and like really taking the time to look at and research what the Max International products offer you, but also looking at and comparing it to some of the other things that are already out there. You know, if you have the time to look and try to see and challenge, you know, what you want to put in your body and how you can ensure that it is balanced, it is proven, and it's going to get overcome whatever obstacle that you may have been dealing with and assist you with that, because it's tough. You know, like imagine you having to take 5 or 6 different pills a day. That's a lot.
Exactly.
Know? From different bottles. And these are all supposedly dietary supplements. Like that's heavy. So, you know, it's just finding what works for you. Some people that works for certain people. It doesn't work for other people. But in this case, you know, it's about how do you create something that's efficient and that's cost effective? Because essentially, when you think about it, if you're spending money on 5 or 6 different bottles, then you're easily spending over $125 a month, you know, versus taking something that's one bottle and it's $65 a month, you know. So it's like, what works for your budget and how important is your health, and what are you willing to spend on that? You know, like, is it to me, health is priceless. Like, my health, I'll spend whatever I need to spend to make sure that, you know, like, I'm going to get and have, you know, create an environment in my body that's going to promote the best potential. Like, my body's operating at this highest potential, you know?
Exactly. So, I think the biggest takeaway that I got from the conversation, and I kind of knew this going into it, but I just wanted to have someone that, you know, had experience in this area. And you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the gist of our conversation and what we got and the takeaway that I got today for the listeners is the best practice, I would say, in terms of supplements is not going with supplements and trying to, as much as you can, go with the organic route. Right. Being, like you said, just natural, you know, your gingers and your broccoli, your cauliflower, things like that. I would say either making it work by ways of smoothies, at least from what I know, you know, the quinoas, the flax seeds, these are natural foods that have multiple benefits to it. Right. I think that with a lot of these things, you can get your fiber out of it. There's the right amount of proteins that's in them as well. There's the right amount of antioxidants as well that'll help you with that. And you brought up a very good point where, like, let's just say you buy 5 or 6 bottles of supplements that serves different purposes. And, you know, you're absolutely right. Anywhere between $15 to $20 a bottle, you're already at $120 just on supplements, right? So, you know, there's a bit of confirmation there that you kind of solidified my way of thinking in terms of that. And, you know, by all means, you know, if it's convenient for you, you know, if you want to buy a bottle of multivitamins because you feel that works, it's fine. I do think, in talking to multiple people, know that, you know, organic is the way. If it has a seed and it regrows and it comes from the earth, it can only help us, right? It's been helping us for years. And I think that's definitely the way to go. In terms of, you know, the service, the company that you work for, Max International, I definitely, you know, want to give you an opportunity to speak to that. I think before we do that, I just want to let everybody know and just remind everybody, in terms of the takeaway for this episode, you know, get what you get from it. But the main thing that I want people to understand and get from this episode is definitely do your research before putting anything into your body. Once you've done your research, you know, you do your consultation with your doctor to find out, you know, what works for you, because you know your family history and your lineage, right? Another thing that you said, Monique, that I found that was very essential is getting a blood test. I think a lot of times we get blood tests when we have to get a blood test, but I think, you know, just getting a blood test to find out where your levels are is important, because, you know, we get fat this in our blood, that you can get in our blood as well, right? And all types of other things, like you said, you know, there's metals and there's all types of things like that. So it's definitely important. So with that being said, just give everybody a little insight. This is the opportunity, not only for yourself, we'll talk about what you provided, then I want to reserve how people can, if they're interested, know a little bit more about you. But in terms of, you know, the company and the products that Max International provides, just talk briefly about that and let them know, you know, how they can go about looking into it if they're interested.
Sure. Thank you, Jay. I'm not here to try to pitch anything to anybody. That's to me, I don't work that way. I feel like what convinced me is doing the research. You know, I wanted to see it, to believe it. I was one of those people. And I feel like at this point, that's how we should be operating, right? We need to treat our government the same way. I'll see it, I'll believe it when I see it, type of thing. And like, that's sort of what motivated me to want to be a part of, you know, the company and be a distributor. But I would say the key thing that's very different is the ribosine. Ribosine is a compound molecule that Dr. Nawasaga created, which is what helps your body create its accelerated glutathione levels, you know? that's what helps you accelerate your glutathione. That itself, along with the synergistic ingredients that anybody is interested in, I have their specification sheets that I can share. There's journals of where these peer reviews are published that could even be a source for you, not only for the Max products, but just for other things that you may be wanting to research and see for yourself. Have they been studied? Because that's what we're talking about. The purpose and the goal for me with this conversation was to really encourage people. It wasn't about Max. It was about encouraging you to understand the importance of why you need to research things and don't just settle because it's pretty packaging, you know, and it quote unquote looks healthy. Like the point is to really get you outside the box and to not only listen to or not listen to what your doctor tells you, but to also fact check, right? Like we all know all the social media platforms are infamous for fact checking, and they delete your post if you don't have the right facts.
Right, exactly.
So it's like, okay, since you know that's a culture that we're living in. So hey, guess
what? The cancel culture.
Yeah, exactly. So how about you start canceling what you're gonna put in your body? Like, let's handle that first. You know, why? Let's take the initiative. Like everything else, and we want to know the facts. Let's go hard for our health, just like that. Let's have that same energy to figure out what's gonna work for us and what isn't gonna work for us. You know, instead of trusting a third source all the time. Like, we are so intelligent. We are such intelligent beings that if we really trusted ourselves a lot more and we were really in tune and grounded, then we probably would be in a different place. And I feel like we're getting there, but it's just like the growing pains of getting there. So if anyone is interested, I have a website. My website is MoniqueNieves.com. But I encourage people, yeah, go to the website, but let's go to the website together. Like, I want to talk to you, because this is not just leading you to a website hoping that you order. No, that's not what this is about. It's an educational aspect. And I feel like if I have to hold your hand, I'm willing to do that because somebody had to hold mine, you know, when it came to understanding and educating myself for my father, you know? And so that's my take for everyone, you know, like just understanding what ribosine is and why these 12 synergistic ingredients were chosen. They weren't just thrown in a bowl and mixed together. Like, these 12 synergistic ingredients were chosen specifically because curcumin, like, say for example, curcumin and black pepper, I bet you didn't know that they're both absorbed better together versus individually, because that's another thing. They'll tell you, yeah, take curcumin, yeah, take black pepper because it has benefits. And yes, individually, no doubt they do. But guess what? You benefit from them better together, you know? So it's the same vibe. And that's why it's just not you trying to take 13 different pills, you know, because they're holistic and natural. Like, no, there's a way to do it that's efficient and cost effective. And it's just about making the time. So I'm available. And I thank you, Jay, for making and taking this opportunity, for allowing to hear me, because it wasn't all about the supplement. It's about lifestyle and how we can change and how can we adjust our food intake and going back to our roots and understanding what our ancestors ate and how they nourished their bodies, because they didn't suffer from the things we are suffering from now, you know? And like really going deep in and getting down to the root, you know? And I'm just grateful for the opportunity that you've given me to share, because these are not easy conversations, you know, but it's necessary for us to have them.
Absolutely. And not at all. And just for the record, it didn't feel salesy at all. You know what I mean? Like, I think the gist of our conversation and the information that you provided in today's podcast, you know, it wasn't about, hey, what I'm selling here. It was more about general knowledge, how we can correct our behavior and not only correct it, but just improve and educate ourselves in terms of, you know, what's available and it's already out there, and just kind of changing our lifestyle. I think the caveat of that is that, hey, you know, if they are interested in, you know, what it is that you're involved in, what you're working on, you do provide that platform. My only question regarding that is, do you offer free consultation? Let's say, for example, someone listens to this and they're like, hey, I'd like to reach out. Are your consultations free, or do they cost? And if someone just wants to know more about what you're offering, or they just have questions in terms of what direction they should be going in.
Yeah, I'm open. I don't charge anything. Like, I'm not in the business of that. Like, to me, the most important thing is like leading people, like helping them being guided. You know, I think that's what we all lack. We all lack mentors and guidance, you know, and you obviously got to do what works for you and what works for your budget. But I'm always open, and I have my numbers public. Like, I don't have anything to hide. If anybody ever wanted to ask me a question, my number is very easy to get in my email. So,
good. Know. So with that being said, just one more time, give everybody your information that is interested in reaching out to you, and how can they find you and follow you on social media as well?
I can be found on Instagram by Monique Nieves, just at Monique Nieves. My email is MoniqueLisaNieves.com. MoniqueLisaNieves@gmail.com. My number is also on my Instagram. So all that information, you could just go to Monique Nieves and everything is there. You know, you can DM me. You could, you know, like whatever it is that you feel comfortable doing, writing me an email. It doesn't matter. I'm an open book. So.
Awesome. Monique, thank you so much for being a guest on that show. I'm really, really grateful for it. I think when I have the opportunity to speak to people like yourself, not only is it just beneficial for myself, because I always feel like I'm a student to everyone that comes on this show, but I'm also, mm-hmm. it's also beneficial to the public. So thank you so much for that. And again, if you guys like to reach out to her, we'll have the information on the YouTube channel. And as well, if you just need to rewind back and listen to that, just make sure you get the information. But again, thank you guys so much for tuning in to our episodes each and every Friday as we bring you new episodes. I'm really, really grateful for that. Again, if you guys like to be on the show, you can hit us up at fithealthwell@gmail.com. All our information is also on our website, fithealthwell.com. And then again, I just continue to ask you guys to just please like, share, follow if you appreciate the content. It lets me know that you are enjoying the content, and I will definitely try and bring you guys more new stuff. I got a lot of stuff in store this year. So thank you so much. I'm always grateful to have you guys, not only my guests, to come on the show. Thanks again. I appreciate that so much, Monique. And thank you guys for tuning in for every episode that I put out. Thank you so much. And until the next one, I'll see you then. Have a great day, guys.